Welcome everyone from the Health Stretch. And we want to continue. Please, can you take your seats, please? We just finished, before coffee break, with the proposals from the Codex Committee on Food Hygiene, and we are going to the next committee now, that is Committee on Food Import and Export Inspection and Certification Systems. And we have one text. Salma, you want to say anything on that?
Mr. Chairman, just wanted to draw your attention to the comments of the chair of the committee concerned in CRD 1, page 2 and 3. There are very comprehensive comments recalling the background, because this is the revised on the issue of certificates and how the committee proceeded, and they recall all the background and indicating that it had followed all that was required in the project document, and highlighting that this standard is at step 5 and 8, so in fact it was even completed more rapidly than initially scheduled. So there is this comment, so there is we understand a very good consensus in the committee, and it is going to step 5 and 8. Thank you.
Thank you, Salma, and we appreciate the information from the chair of the committee. And is there any objection then why we shouldn't recommend to the Commission to adopt this at step 5-8 as being proposed? Seeing none, then we recommend to the Commission to adopt this text at step 5-8. Can we continue to the next committee, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next committee is food labelling, the guidelines on organically produced foods, derived table 3, which is basically on ingredients of non-agricultural origin, is mostly on additives in processed organic foods. As you know, at the last session, this had been returned to step 6 because it had not been circulated, so that was for procedural reasons. It was not something anything controversial. This time, of course, it had been circulated, and there had been some further additives to the list, some technical discussion, and this will in fact complete the revision of the annexes, on all the annexes on the substances allowed in an organic system, so there is no specific problems with this standard. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Salma, and it's true, we, in the last commission meeting for transparency, we said it should be circulated, and it was circulated, and now we're in a position to recommend to the Commission to adopt the annex at step 8. An objection? Seeing none, then we recommend to the Commission to adopt the annex at step 8. Can we go to the next one, please?
Mr. Chairman, on the Committee on Fats and Oils, on the standard for fat spreads and blended spread, you can see it's been discussed for quite a long time, since 1995. There was a long explanation on the right, but it explains the delays, and also because there were several endorsements. So on labelling and on methods of analysis, it was endorsed and with some amendment. As regards additives, it was endorsed also with a number of amendments, and the most important is the reference to annatto extracts. It was because in general the Committee on Additives did not endorse this provision, because there is a new ADI established for annatto extract on the basis of Bixin or Norbixin. So that was on the 67th JECFA. And in the light of this new evaluation and the new ADIs, it is recommended that the Committee should revise and establish maximum use level on this additive. So that was that's a recommendation that came, of course, from the Committee on Additives. And we had added some note, because we have seen that in existing standards for fats and oils, this additive is also used, and it's based on the previous ADI. So we had suggested that there could be a general recommendation to the Committee on Fats and Oils to review also the level of this additive in existing standards. Besides that, the everything is in order with that committee from the point of view of the critical review, and there was consensus also after quite extensive discussion, so there is no problem of consensus now in the committee. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Salma. It's encouraging at least some progress has been made, and we still have the another extracts to be considered in light of the new JECFA recommendations. And Salma, could you clarify as to whether ANAT extracts were not endorsed or not discussed in the committee for fats and oils? Oh, I did not get it clearly. Could you explain so that we are in the right picture?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Committee on Fats and Oils was aware of the problem because there had just been the new evaluation of ANATO extract, which established two ADIs, and they asked some advice to the Committee on Additives and said, well, we have current level, how would that be applicable now? And then the Committee on Additives looked at this question and said, well, we do not endorse the level as it is. The committee should look at it again and establish maximum use levels. That was really something new when it was discussed in Fats and Oils. The committee was aware of it, but then it went to the Committee on Additives, which gave some more specific recommendation that maximum use levels based on Bixin or Norbixin, consistent with the ADIs established by JECFA, should be considered by the committee. So that would mean that the standard would be adopted without this additive, and the other additives were endorsed. And then at the next session, the Committee on Fats and Oils will reconsider the level for these particular additives and see how to establish levels which correspond to the new ADI. And perhaps it would need also to do it in other standards where this additive also is included. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Salma, for that further clarification. So in the Executive Committee can therefore recommend to the Commission to adopt the proposal at Step 8, but without the additive ANATO extract. Okay. Thank you. Can we go to the next committee, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next committee, Committee on General Principles. It has only one text. It is because normally, as you know, General Principles Committee works mostly on procedure. In that case, these are draft working principles for risk analysis for food safety for application by governments. So this was developed through the step procedure. It has been discussed for a number of years. There was delays due to some lack of consensus. However, there is agreement in the committee. From the point of view of critical review, there is nothing specific because it's developed by a general committee. But the only question is that there were some reservations, so that's related to consensus in the committee. However, it was sent to step 5 and 8. But from the point of view of what is really our mandate under the critical review, there are no specific remarks. It went through the procedure, was circulated for comments, and this is intended to have general food safety risk analysis principles in the framework of Codex. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Salma, and can I open this to the floor? Member from Latin America and Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. De hecho, este es un documento, creo que a todos nos es evidente, muy relevante. En el Comité de América Latina y el Caribe tuvimos discusiones a este respecto que están reflejadas en el reporte de dicha reunión, y todas las opiniones fueron coincidentes en que el tema es relevante. Sin embargo, no todas fueron coincidentes en apoyar el avance de este documento. Entonces, llama nuestra atención el paso acelerado 5.8. Eh, Insisto, no es un tema sobre el cual haya una opinión de consenso. Las opiniones están divididas, pero quisiera preguntar desde el punto de vista de procedimiento si aún con opiniones divididas puede avanzarse al paso 5.8 un documento de esta naturaleza. Que entendemos que es un trámite excepcional para cuando hay un consenso amplio. Gracias, señor presidente.
Member from Latin American Caribbean, member from Africa, please.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. We have supported the advancement of this for step 5.8 because we consider it very important for our government, and we think that we will continue to support this to be advanced as step 5.8, the accelerated procedure, because this is an instrument which is important for developing countries. And I think, I don't know, it's true, as a CCGP, there was no consensus among members whether we should advance at step 5 or step 5.8. But I think for, as a member of Africa, I think we will continue to support it for this accelerated procedure. Thank you.
Thank you, member from Africa. Can I hear some more views on this? Member from Southwest Pacific, please.
Thank you, Chairman. We would also like to express our support for the recommendation coming from the committee to move this draft principles for food safety for application by governments to steps 5 and 8. In our view, this document has been around for some considerable time in the committee in its various forms. And we believe that even though the particular text under consideration of the last meeting did have some concerns for some countries, we believe that the document is in a sufficient sort of shape for it to be adopted at steps 5 and 8. Members, as we have heard from time to time, have been seeking such guidance for a number of years. The need to develop these principles is also in the COVID strategic plan, and we believe that also the fact that the committee is not scheduled to meet for another 2 years, any delay in the adoption at this point, in our view, would be less than desirable. We believe that it's a document that is ready for adoption. There are, you know, clearly some areas that could do with some improvement, but these can be, like other texts and codex, can be developed and looked at from time to time. But at this stage, we would strongly urge the Executive Committee to recommend the adoption of this at steps 5 and 8. Thank you.
Thank you, member from South Pacific. Member from North America, please.
Yes, thank you. Just further to the comments made by the member for the Southwest Pacific, we also do support the adoption of these principles, and certainly we are sensitive to the comments that were made about the discussion at CCGP and in the working group. But we do note that these principles will contribute to a more consistent application of risk analysis by governments without being overly prescriptive, and it will enable governments to adapt them to their particular circumstances. So are hoping to see them move ahead, recognizing, of course, that these principles, as well as any other codex documents, will be subject to further discussion in the future. Thanks.
Member from North America and Coordinator Europe, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very briefly, we'd like to express our support for the adoption of the principles at steps 5.8, and also to inform the Executive Committee that at the last session of the CC Euro, we discussed the then principles which had come out of the working group, and we expressed full support for the advancement of the work on risk analysis for food safety for application by governments. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Coordinator for Europe, and it's becoming very apparent that we would recommend to the Commission to adopt this proposed text at step 5.8, while of course noting that in the Latin America and the Caribbean there are some countries with some reservations, as it has been explained by the member from Latin America and Caribbean, but also they also recognize the importance of having this guidance to the member governments. So, as Executive Committee, we recommend for adoption at step 5.8. Can we go to the next committee, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next committee is the Coordinating Committee for the Near East, and it has been working very quickly, sent to step 5.8.3, regional standards, which were finalized. And as you can see, the status of endorsement, they were endorsed by the Food Labeling Committee and the Committee on Additives. Sorry, there's an error, it's CCFA, not CCFAC. Endorsed with some amendments which can be introduced into the standard. It was not endorsed as regards the methods of analysis and sampling, but that should not really defer the adoption of the standard, because that was we would like to recall that the Committee for the Near East was held just the week before the Committee on Methods of Analysis and Sampling, and there was not much time for the Committee on Methods to look at the methods, so also they perhaps did not know very well the background and the products coming from that region, so that was not really because there was big objections, but really it was not very practical to look at this method. So from the practical point of view, the standard could be the standards could be adopted without the methods, because we know they are of importance for the region. And then, as it happens in some cases, the methods would be added, will be considered by the next session of the Committee on Methods of Analysis and Sampling, and could be reintroduced into the standard at the next. At the next commission, so that would be what happens in such cases. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Selma. So the proposal is to adopt the three draft standards at step 5.8, minus the clause on methods of analysis and sampling. And as it has been explained, the endorsement from us was not because of any unacceptances, but because of time constraints. Any objections to us recommending to the Commission that the three texts be adopted at step 5.8? Seeing none, then we shall recommend to the Commission to adopt the three texts draft standards at step 5.8, minus the provision for methods of analysis and sampling. Thank you. The next committee, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next committee, the Nutrition and Foods for Special Dietary Users. This is a very important standard and very complex, which has taken, as everybody knows, quite a long time. It was approved as new work in 1995 and the work initiated in 1996. This draft standard for infant formula, which you can see now has two parts, infant formula for... and formula for special medical purposes. So this standard, which is in two parts, the second part was approved as new work a little later, but in all now it's a complete standard. It was very important revision of the existing standard for infant formula, but there were a lot of updates, especially nutritional requirements. On the scope, there was a lot of discussion, and so now the committee came to a consensus. There are some pending issues which will require some further scientific advice from JACFA on certain additives and on the applicability of ADI. We understand this is being discussed during the JACFA, which is being held this week. And last week. And but however, there is a list of additives which is already for inclusion in the standard now step 8, and the labeling provisions have been endorsed. Similarly, the methods have not been endorsed because there were a number of older methods, and in practice, the Committee on Nutrition will have to look at the issue of methods of analysis from a general point of view, because in view of its very heavy workload, it had discussed a lot on the provision in the standards, but the methods need updating. So as in the previous case, that should not really defer the adoption of this standard, and the method will be reconsidered and by the next session of the Committee on Nutrition, and then by the next session of the Committee on Methods, and could be added at the next commission. So in view of the importance of this standard, of course, there's a lot of consensus in the committee to get it adopted, and everybody's aware of its importance, so it would be very useful if it could be adopted. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Selma. Can I open this to the floor? Any discussions on this one? Member from North America, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My notes are telling me that there was that arginine had been carried over into the standard, and we understand that the committee had discussed actually deleting it from the annex. So just my notes are telling me perhaps to note this to the committee, and it may come up during the commission session as well.
Selma, can you respond on that?
Mr. Chairman, yeah, this is in the comments. That was in the comments we have received, and that would be, yes, probably if the Commission agreed that change could be made, we can take a note of it as proposed, and then this change could be made at the Commission, and the standard could be adopted with this amendment, which would not be, we do not expect it to be controversial, so, but that will depend at the Commission. But we can make a note here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So can we then recommend to the Commission to adopt the two documents at step 8, taking note of the observation as it has been pointed out by the member from North America? Quiet. I think we agree we recommend the adoption. Can we go to the next one, please?
Mr. Chairman, next one on processed fruit and vegetables. As you can see, there are several standards at step 8, which are all standards including several type of processed fruit and vegetables. And the status of endorsement, they are all endorsed without specific problems. Some amendments proposed by in the additives, labeling, and some in the methods, but the standard can be adopted with these amendments, and there was no specific problematic issue. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Selma. And can I open them to the floor now? An objection as to why we shouldn't recommend to the Commission to adopt these three draft standards at step 8? No? Then we recommend to the Commission to adopt them at step 8. Next committee, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the draft MRA for bovine somatotropin, which is held at the level of the Commission and was not considered by the previous sessions. This was just to confirm the status. Thank you.
Thank you. And this is more for information, and I think the situation as recommended during the 21st session and 23rd sessions remain. Thank you. Can we continue to the next one?
Thank you. It's on milk and milk products. As you can see, there are a large number of standards, and we will recall that at the last commission, all the standards for individual cheese, which are mentioned in the list, were held at step 8 except the provision for country of origin, section 7.2, which was referred back to the Committee on Labelling. So the last session of the committee had the discussion, extensive discussion on these provisions, and after this this debate it was endorsed. And so that would be, in other words, the section would be exactly as proposed by the Committee on Milk and Milk Products in all the standards for milk and milk products, for individual cheeses which are mentioned. And also, since we had this discussion, but we wanted to recall the other amendments which need to be made, which relate to endorsement from the Committee on... There is not an error, it was CCFAC, because it was still additives and contaminants, had made a number of amendments, and this was reconsidered again by the Committee on Additives, and as we had mentioned in the case of fats and oils, it did not endorse the annatto extract provisions, which applies to both committees, and wherever it was proposed, it was not endorsed, because these, there is a need for the committee to clarify which type of annatto extract is used and the basis, either Bixin or no Bixin, to be in conformity with the new ADIs established by JECFA. So that's, the standard would be therefore adopted without the level for annatto extract and with the other amendments proposed by the Committee on Additives. As regards methods of analysis, it has been endorsed, so there are no problems. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Selma. Can I therefore open the... There are 17 in number. For any discussion open to the floor for any discussion. It's encouraging, some efforts of success have been achieved. Member from Southwest Pacific.
Thank you, Chairman. Just simply to endorse and support the comments, introductory comments made by the Secretariat. Welcome the endorsement by CCFL, even though we as New Zealand had ongoing concerns about the principle of mandatory country of origin labelling. In the spirit of compromise, we were prepared to support the advancement of the standards with the language on section 7.2 as recommended by the Milk Committee. And we also note the comments made by the Secretariat with regard to the annatto extract provisions. This will obviously be discussed by the next meeting of CCMMP, where they will obviously consider the requirements to determine the levels on the basis of Bixin and Norbixin. So just brief comments and support for the adoption of the standards as a whole. Thank you.
Thank you, member from Southwest Pacific. Member from Latin America and Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. En realidad, pues únicamente quisiéramos felicitar el espíritu de consenso que permitió llegar a este punto en la discusión y también felicitar la labor del secretariado en esta labor del análisis crítico. Creo que la información que en este caso aparece en el recuadro del extremo derecho es particularmente clara y completa sobre los puntos principales de discusión. Quizá en la medida en que adquirimos más experiencia todos en esta nueva labor del Comité Ejecutivo, sería útil tener este tipo de referencias tocando los puntos claves de la discusión en la medida de lo posible en todas las normas que tenemos para discusión aquí en el Comité Ejecutivo. Gracias, señor presidente. Es un comentario general.
Thank you, member from Latin America and Caribbean. It's always good to appreciate some good work, and indeed we appreciate the spirit of consensus which enabled some agreement, and of course, Secretary, congratulations for the good work already done. And coordinator for Europe, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And of course, we also acknowledge the great work which was done by all involved, the Codex Committee on Milk, Milk Products, the Food Labeling Committee, and the Secretariat. And, well, Mr. Chairman, it's true that at the last CCFL session, there was great discussion as regarding the country of origin section, and Switzerland agrees to the indication of the country of origin in these standards. However, we have great problems with the deletion of the indication on the country of historic origin as regards several cheese standards. Not all of the 17 which are listed here are concerned. There are quite a few standards which are concerned, and in particular, Switzerland is very concerned that the draft revised standard for Emmental will not indicate the country of origin or historic origin, which is Switzerland. Mr. Chairman, our reservation and positions were also noted in the report. And although the comments here state that the CCFL endorsed the section as proposed by the MP after a substantial debate and without any objections to the decision, we would just like to refer the Executive Committee to the report of the CCFL, and in particular to paragraph 13, where the Swiss position is clearly stated. So we do not agree to a full revision without the indication of the country of historic origin. And this position, of course, will also be repeated next week at the Commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Coordinator from Europe, but I hope you are talking as Coordinator from Europe, not as a member from Switzerland. And, well, you took the liberty to explain the Switzerland position in the committee, and this might can also be repeated in the Commission, but I don't think you would, as a coordinator, block the advancement of the text as it has been proposed. But as a country, we shall take note of your reservations in the Commission. Okay.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just did not want to surprise maybe the delegates if next week the Swiss delegation takes the floor and expresses its view then. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So I hope we are all happy that some progress has been made, and we are in a position to therefore recommend to the Commission to adopt the text at step 8 as it has been proposed. Thank you very much. Can we go to the next committee, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next committee is on pesticide residues. There are quite a number of revised draft MRLs, whether revised or whether new, and at different steps. We have put them all in one table because it is ongoing work. As regards scientific advice, it is also ongoing work on the GMPR providing scientific advice on the establishment of MRLs. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Salma. Can I have any comments from the floor? None? Then we recommend to the Commission to adopt the proposals at step 8 and 5-8 and at 5 as it has been proposed. Thank you very much. Can we go to the next committee, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next one, which is the last for adoption, this is also ongoing work. It is Committee on Method of Analysis and Sampling. It's endorsement, but we present it separately because a lot of methods go into draft standard, but some of them are update of existing standards and existing methods of analysis, which is also the mandate of the committee. So it's for adoption either as part of draft standards or as amendments to the current list of methods. And, of course, it's clear that this endorsement in draft standards, it will go into standard only if the standard is finally adopted. Thank you.
Thank you, Salma. And I hope the members were able to follow. these endorsements being carried out in the Committee on Methods of Analysis and Sampling is an ongoing activity, and is being presented to us to recommend to the Commission for endorsement. An objection? Seeing none, then we recommend to the Commission for endorsement. Can we go to part two now? And this is on draft standards and related texts at step five. Salma, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before we, all of these are on step five, and of course I would also like to thank the countries which said we had provided useful explanation. It's true we did not put it in all cases, and we tried to concentrate on the issues where there have been some specific problems. So of course, also in that case, there was not much time, but we will try to, of course, all improve the system and put as much information as useful. In that case, of course, it's at step five, so we made the general comment in the first page that endorsement in some cases it has gone for endorsement in view of the timing of committees or when there was need for specific advice, but of course it's not so important in that case because it's an ongoing process and endorsement can be completed after step five. So you will know that in some cases, of course, the provisions have not yet been endorsed. So the first on the list is the guidelines for use of flavorings. It's going to step five. This is really recent. It started in 2006, so this is it's been progressing quite well. And then some other sections are returned to step two, three. Thank you.
Thank you, Selma. Any objections to our recommendation to the Commission to adopt this as step five? No? Thanks. Then we recommend that it be adopted as step five. The next committee, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next committee is Regional Committee's Coordinating Committee for Asia. This is tendered for gochujang, which is fermented soybean paste with a chili pepper. The time frame, it's recent. It was initiated in 2004, and the committee, of course, being a coordinating committee, meets every 2 years. It's been sent to step five. There has been a lot of work in the committee and consensus. The CC Asia proposed a finalization after step five as an international standard by the Committee on Cereals, Pulses and Legumes in view of the composition of the product. We would just like to recall that the CCCPL is an adjoint committee, that it is working by correspondence. Recently it had completed the standard for instant noodles, and for the moment it has no other work. Relating to endorsement, CCMAS was partially endorsed. There is still some ongoing work on analysis of some specific component of this product, especially capsaicin. In the case of the additives committee, it was endorsed with some amendments, and there are some questions, but also some good progress. And for timing reasons, it was not yet considered by the. It can be considered after step five in the case of the committee on labeling. So that was for gochujang, and we will recall the background of the next one. Although probably this discussion is really is different because there are different types of products. As regards ginseng, this is 2004 initiated as new work, but it had been initiated. Discussion had been held before that. CC Asia proposed finalization after step five by the Committee on Processed Fruit and Vegetables. This has been a discussion already in the Commission. The Commission had agreed that after step five, a decision would be taken on how to finalize the committee and as to which committee should take on the task of the finalization of this committee. So in that case, also endorsement has not yet been considered because perhaps pending the discussion of the discussion at step five. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Selma. And The secretary would like to add something. Secretary, please.
Just to clarify once again the decisions to be made next week by the Commission. The Commission next week will be requested to take two or three different decisions on these two standards. First, whether to adopt at step five, and secondly, whether the standards development be pursued as regional standard or international standard. And finally, if the decision is taken to the effect that these standards be finalized as international standards, which committee should be entrusted with the further standard development work. So these are three or two questions before the Commission next week. And if the Executive Committee feels comfortable to provide any guidance on these questions to the Commission next week, it would be much welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, for that clarification. And can I invite for some comments? And maybe the way forward is to address the three questions that have been proposed. And if we could start with the first one, that is whether the text should be adopted at step five or it should not be adopted at step five. We need to give guidance to the Commission here. Member from North America.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wonder if we could request some additional clarification. The first question, adopting at step five, that would be adoption as a regional standard at step five. And the second question, should the committee recommend that the standards move from regional to international standards, would a project document for a new work be prepared to advance these standards?
Very good questions. And while the Secretariat is consulting, can I ask the member from Asia to react? Neta from Asia, you wish to take the floor as to whether you want it to be adopted as step five as a regional standard or as a worldwide standard?
This is a question for me, not for today. This is a
Okay. Some clarification. The secretary is willing to save your skin for a while.
Thank you, Chairman. As a regional coordinator for CC Asia, I would like to propose that mostly I agree with the saying by coordinator, I mean the secretariat. And I mean, I think at the step five, it should be adopted regional standard, but after step five, some other community committee will take up to the step eight. It can be the regional standard or international standard, but CC Asia want to get this standard to be international. Because, for example, ginseng is getting popularity worldwide. It's not a regional issue anymore. That's what we, the CC Asia member countries, have a consensus on that. So I agree with that, as Secretary mentioned before, we have to discuss about these three. Number one is this should be adopted step five, and this should be adopted regional or international. And in that case, which committee will take over this standard? So I want to suggest that these issues should put forward to consideration by CAC. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson.
Thank you, Coordinator for Asia. Secretary, can you come in here now?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of Executive Committee can probably expect that I'm providing the answer you were expecting to hear. The Codex procedures provide some guidance in this area, although it does not precisely describe the matters from a legal point of view in a crystal clear manner. Anyway, the proposed draft standards have been put forward to step 5 for adoption as draft standards. So at this stage, these draft standards will not go into the Codex Alimentarius because it is not final adoption. So the title you are giving to this intermediate products will not really matter, be it draft regional standard or draft international standard. But given the fact that these two documents have been developed so far by a regional coordinating committee, I think it is more than judicious to interpret that after for the adoption at step 5, the majority required for that adoption will be the majority of the countries that formed the CCACR membership. Therefore, if you really want to be precise about the title of the document, it will be after adoption at step 5. My chair is going down. would be a draft regional standard. And then it would be a second question that would be asked, whether the Commission wishes that CCACR pursue the further steps for finalization as regional standard, or agree to circulate the draft regional standard as draft international standard at step 6. And in this case, which committee should be entrusted to discuss the text at step 7. So I hope I provided some clarity from procedural point of view. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, for that very useful clarification. And coordinator from Latin American Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. En realidad, nosotros no tenemos inconveniente con el avance de este documento, todo lo contrario. Pero nuestra preocupación básicamente está relacionada con el tema de la aprobación del estándar como norma regional o internacional, o la consideración que debe hacerse al respecto. Y lo que nos preguntábamos es, ¿en qué difiere, en algunos casos o en muchos de estos casos que se plantean como normas de productos desde los comités regionales, que sea una norma regional o una internacional en términos de los criterios aplicables a los productos? Porque si uno mira cuáles son los criterios aplicables a los productos para el establecimiento de prioridades de los trabajos, algunos de los criterios son las diversificaciones de la legislación nacional, el mercado internacional o regional potencial, y la realidad es que muchos de estos productos, si bien se plantean, o muchos de estos estándares, si bien se plantean desde un comité regional, tienen comercio internacional, con lo cual me parece que en ocasiones pretender circunscribirlo a que sea simplemente una norma regional es no considerar que pueden estar desde el vamos cumpliendo los criterios generales para el establecimiento de estándares internacionales, más allá de que haya sido originada en un comité regional. Quizás teniendo en cuenta cómo se está incrementando el trabajo de los comités coordinadores regionales, se debería ver de qué manera se tienen en cuenta los criterios aplicables a productos cuando quien plantea un estándar es un comité regional. Porque a lo mejor desde el VAMOS se podría definir esta cuestión. Gracias.
Thank you, Cornetta, for Latin America and Caribbean. And it goes back to the second question. In fact, it's the second question from the member from North America. Are we going to require a project proposal? Member from Europe?
Oui, merci Monsieur le Président. La réponse à la deuxième question est liée au point 6B de notre ordre du jour qui prévoit l'examen de la structure des comités et des mandats des comités. Sous ce point de l'ordre du jour figure un certain nombre de propositions, 11 si mes souvenirs sont bons. Et la proposition 8 concerne justement le cas que nous sommes en train de discuter, puisque la proposition 8, si je la lis, dit ceci. Les travaux des comités de coordination concernant les produits devraient être axés sur l'élaboration de normes régionales conformément à leur mandat. La conversion d'une norme régionale en une norme mondiale devrait être envisagée seulement après son adoption à l'étape 8 et sur recommandation du comité de produits concernés, appuyée par un projet de document. Ça, c'est la proposition 8 qui figure sur le point 6B de notre ordre du jour. Donc, nous sommes vraiment bien dans la discussion qui nous concerne. Et en ce qui nous concerne, en Europe, nous sommes en faveur de cette proposition 8, ce qui vous laisse déjà penser de la réponse que nous avons à la question que nous examinons pour le moment. Mais peut-être devrions-nous seulement répondre à la deuxième question une fois que nous aurons pris une position sur la proposition 8 du point 6B de l'ordre du jour. Mais bien entendu, c'est dans vos mains, Monsieur le Président, de savoir comment mener les travaux de notre comité. Merci.
Thank you, member from Europe. And if I understand you well, your intervention here would mean not to support work to be continued after step 5 by the committee on cereal pulses and legumes. Rather, it should be continued within Asia up to step 8, and it's only then that consideration for turning it into a worldwide standard can be considered. Now we have two proposals, and I really want to ask the committee as to which one would support. First, we recommend adoption at step 5, and as the way forward, the work should be continued within CC Asia until step 8. And it's after adoption at step 8, if it's to be turned into worldwide standard, a project proposal has to be submitted. Or we have the proposal from CC Asia that it be adopted at step 5, but as a way forward, they would like to be handled by the Committee on Cereal and Cereal Products. So we have those two views now. Member from Africa, please.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to suggest something at this point in time. I think in connection with what the member for Europe said, I think it will be interesting to delay any conclusion on this issue now until we discuss the amendment that he's proposing. Because if we adopt anything now, that may set a precedent before we go into the discussions there. So I wish to suggest that we delay it a little bit, finalize the discussion on the proposal, and then later on we'll see if we can come back to this and adopt it with regard to what we have adopted on the proposal. That's my proposal at this point in time. Thank you.
Thank you, member from Africa, a very attractive proposal. Member from Latin America, Caribbean, you're supporting the proposal?
Gracias, señor presidente. En efecto, quisiera apoyar esta propuesta que me parece muy prudente de parte del miembro de África y quisiera hacer un comentario adicional porque este es un tema que tiene muy alta relevancia porque hay más discusiones que se van a dar de este tipo en el futuro. Quizá en la medida en que el Comité Ejecutivo está tomando más un papel de hacer una gestión de las normas que se están emitiendo en el Códex, pues adquiriremos más experiencia en cómo hacer esa gestión de tal suerte que el trabajo adecuado vaya al comité adecuado. Y creo que aquí los criterios a que se refirió la coordinadora de América Latina y el Caribe deben de ser nuestra principal guía. Esto es, no deberían de permitirse normas regionales de productos que tengan una relevancia conforme a los criterios que sea de carácter mundial. Deberían de hacerse normas mundiales para ellos. Y viceversa, no deberían de hacerse normas mundiales de productos que solo tienen una relevancia regional. Entonces, creo que en la medida en que esta función de hacer una gestión de normas por parte del Comité Ejecutivo siga progresando, tendremos más elementos para que los trabajos puedan iniciarse y finalizarse en el foro adecuado. Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, member from Latin America and Caribbean. And it's very true. I mean, our standards management function is evolving, and we are bound to come across quite a number of challenging situations where we are supposed to give guidance to the Commission. And this is one of the areas. And Vice Chair Othman wants to give us some guidance out.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do appreciate the views and concerns of members on this issue. Of course, without doubt, this issue has relevance to one of the proposals on the review of mandates, regional standards, and how do we convert that to international standards, concerns over there. But I was just wondering whether this issue are specific, these are specific issues, whether at this point in time we could just consider whether we want to adopt it at step five, whether it's regional or international standard, which committee to assign, and look at the agenda item 8 on the review of mandates specific to this proposal in a broader perspective. How do we address this issue in a broader perspective rather than just focusing on these issues? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chair Noreen. And can I also call in one of the Vice Chairs? Vice Chair Wim?
Yes, thank you for taking me by surprise, Mr. Chairman. But indeed, we had also a lengthy discussion yesterday. Because, indeed, on previous occasions, we have said, we as a Commission, has agreed upon a certain way to move on with regional standards and at a certain step to convert them in an international standard. At the same time, it, as has been said earlier, it relates with step 6B, where we will discuss later on the review and the mandates of committees, including the commodity committees, and also in taking into account the comments we have received from a number of countries in response to circular letter, particularly focuses on how to deal with commodity standards in future, including the regional standards, with the view to focus the work of Codex and to expedite the work in Codex. So there is a link, and then you have basically two options, that is move on with decisions as we did in the past, or to anticipate on certain discussions you may expect to arise from point 6B. My understanding is that there's a certain sympathy in the meeting already to anticipate on a possible outcome and say let's not refer these standards to step adopt them in step 5 as a regional standard and ask the coordinating committees to finalize it at step 8 and later on see whether it warrants a conversion into a international standard. This is a little bit my understanding, what I hear saying from different speakers. At the same time, also looking into what has been said by Vice Chair Noreni, I can see the point, particularly from the Asian region. So the question is whether we can indeed say, let's anticipate maybe on discussions under 6B, and that it is more appropriate to adopt it as a regional standard, to ask the coordinating standard committee to continue to finalize as a regional standard, and at that time come forward with a new product document if you think it is relevant to have a international standard, but that we then also should try to find ways that if that should be the case, that certain regional standards should be converted into an international one, that we have procedures in place that we can do that as expeditiously as possible, and that we do not go through a whole cycle of new discussions, but that then the regional standard can be quickly converted into an international standard, that there's no need again to ask for endorsements by the Food Labeling Committee or the Additives Committee or the Methods of Analysis Committee, so that to reassure the concerns or to mitigate the concerns as just expressed by our colleague from Malaysia, that yes, move on dealing with it as a regional standard, but make sure that if it is wanted to be converted into a international standard, as that can be done as expeditiously as possible. And indeed, Mr. Chairman, I guess that we should have a full and fundamental review of a number of issues at stake when we arrive at 6B, relative to particularly the work on commodity standards.
Thank you, Wim. I mean, I saw the two vice chairs were in a very serious discussion, so I decided to pick on them. And Vice Chair Karen, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, we have together been discussing this issue because it's obviously of great importance to the Commission, to its member states, and to this executive committee as it exercises its management function to bring clarity and greater efficiency to the process. It has been said by a number of commentators that regional committees perhaps possess the greatest expertise to bring to bear to the elaboration of a regional standard and can develop that standard most quickly as a result of that fact, because of the expertise residing in those regional committees. If the desire then is there would be a project proposal that should identify the likely nature of this standard as important beyond the region, and at the time of finalization at step 8, foreshadowing a little bit the discussion we will have in 6B, it seems that we will need to clarify procedure so that, as my colleague, Vice Chair Van Eck, has said, there is no delay in conversion of a regional standard to an international standard, but that a procedure is clearly available so that an expedited review and approval can take place. It should not be the case that careful work by a regional committee is then goes into a long and drawn-out process of conversion to an international standard. But procedure must be clear on this point, so as not to disadvantage that regional standard that we all agree could be an international standard. But there needs to be clear understanding and agreement and procedure at each point along the way, and there isn't yet at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair Karen, and coordinator for Europe, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We fully agree with what has been said by both vice chairs, in fact, three vice chairs, and we would just like to highlight the fact that first of all, we agree to the fact that the regional standards should be, once they're adopted, they should be reviewed and adopted as expeditiously as possible. But we would just like to draw the attention of the committee to the fact that coordinating committees only meet every 2 years. So this time should also be considered just in case the standard would have to be sent back. And also the fact that in this particular case, the Codex Committee for Asia has identified for one of this proposed draft standard, the one for gochujang, they have identified the Codex Committee on Cereals, Pastas and Legumes, which is a committee which has been adjourned sine die, which also conducts its business, well, by correspondence. So we fully agree that a procedure should be set in place so as not to disadvantage the regional standards, which in turn would become the international standards once they've been adopted at step 8. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Coordinator for Europe. And I heard the coordinator from Latin America and Caribbean.
Gracias, señor presidente. En realidad era simplemente para mencionar que una de las cuestiones que ha llevado a los comités regionales a proponer cada vez más normas es que muchas veces el interés por determinado tipo de productos no es acompañado por todos los miembros del Codex. Generalmente son los miembros de una misma región los que tienen más interés en llevar adelante esta norma. Y me parece que debería haber una visión más amplia cuando se establezcan los procedimientos para convertir normas regionales en internacionales, de manera que este pase no se vea frustrado por la falta de interés que puedan tener otros miembros del Codex en esos estándares de productos. Y la otra cuestión que me parece que es muy importante tener en cuenta es que cuando exista comercio internacional más allá de una región respecto de un estándar de un producto, en ese caso sí se debería procurar que desde que se la proponga como nuevo estándar, el estándar sea internacional y no regional, porque ha habido casos en que se ha promovido el establecimiento de normas para productos que se consumen y se comercializan a nivel mundial, pero se han establecido los estándares a nivel regional, y eso sí podría llegar a generar algún tipo de conflicto. Gracias.
Thank you, coordinator for Latin America and Caribbean. I had the FAO staff flag here, please. FAO.
Gracias, señor presidente. El punto ha sido tomado ya por la delegada de la región. En la historia del Codex existen casos concretos que quizá sea conveniente analizar cuando ustedes lleguen a la discusión de estos procedimientos en el cual una norma internacional ha sido generada iniciando los trabajos en un comité regional, pero en un buen momento acompañado del esfuerzo del comité de productos y ha sido esa sinergia entre el trabajo del comité regional y comité de producto que ha llevado a un trabajo acelerado, y existen varios ejemplos. Quizá esta experiencia no debiera ser perdida.
Thank you very much for that information, and a member from Near East, please.
شكرا سيد الرئيس. أرى أن المناقشات يعني طالت في هذا الأمر، وأني أرى أن طبيعة السلعة هي التي تفرض ما إذا كان مطلوب أن تكون مواصفتها مواصفة إقليمية أو مواصفة دولية، لأنه الغرض من المواصفات هو تسهيل التبادل التجاري وتطمين المستهلك أيا كان مكانه بأن هذه السلعة لها مواصفات، خصوصا السلع المتعلقة بالغذاء. ولما نبص في طبيعة هاتين السلعتين بنجد أنهم بيتداولوا فعلا على المستوى الدولي، فده يوجه أن تكون مواصفات هذه السلع مواصفات دولية، وألا نأخذ قرار حاليا بأن تكون إقليمية ونستمر في اعتماد هذه المواصفات لتكون مواصفات دولية، لأنه بنؤكد أن هذه السلعة بتتداول على مستوى دولي الآن رغم عدم وجود مواصفات حتى الآن. شكرا سيد الرئيس.
Thank you very much, member from Near East and Continent of Africa. And we would need to summarize now. You'll be the last speaker. Sorry.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Justement, j'allais dire que quelque chose qui paraissait simple au début prend subitement beaucoup de temps de discussion. Moi, je crois qu'il faut revenir au commentaire du membre de l'Europe, qui était un commentaire pertinent tout au début de la discussion. C'est-à-dire que si à l'état actuel de la discussion, on peut proposer à la Commission d'adopter la norme en tant que norme régionale à l'étape 5, on ne pourra certainement pas, à l'état actuel de la discussion, de se prononcer par rapport à la question s'il fallait passer une norme internationale, puisque au niveau du point 6, on va justement examiner les mandats des comités produits, et puisque aussi pour passer une norme internationale, comme on l'a toujours fait, il faudrait que le comité spécialisé s'assure que le produit justifie, ou le commerce de ce produit au niveau international justifie le passage à une norme internationale. Ça me paraît tout à fait logique d'abord de discuter à l'étape au point 6 de la procédure. Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, coordinator from Africa, and secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to come back to the second question asked by the member from North America, to which I did not respond at that time. The matter was raised, well, this matter regarding the new work that actually started later in CIS Asia was brought to the Commission in 2004. And we have to recall that at that time, the Commission was trying to introduce the new scheme, which is critical review. And this new scheme was introduced during 2004-2005 period. The elaboration procedure was amended first, and amendment to the rules of procedures specifically to describe the new role of executive committee was introduced later. So these two standards started to be developed at the time when Codex started its radical reform process regarding elaboration procedure. So this is the first point I wanted to make. The second point is that in the 2004 Commission, the Commission reviewed these proposals for new work, one on Jensen standard and one on Gochujang standard, and there was no consensus to take a firm decision to develop to these two standards as international standards. There was no consensus. But there was a consensus to entrust the drafting work to the CCACIA, and the Commission deferred its decision as to the fate of these draft standards to the Commission session that would consider those draft standards at step five. So no decision was taken. The Commission simply deferred this issue to the present session. As mentioned by the representative of FAO, we are now facing a procedural question. It is indeed true that in the past, the Commission sometimes looked to the process whereby the Commission entrusts initial drafting work from step two through step five to a coordinating committee, and then finalize the standard at the subsequent steps by the worldwide community committees. So the practice was followed. So it was not sort of illegal process, but it was part of the practice of the Commission. But it was mostly dates back to the time where there was no critical review function of the Executive Committee. So now, how this past practices are compatible with the new strategic planning and critical review? This is the real question. If a new work is approved on the basis of a project document that fully justifies the development of a regional standard, can this regional standards development work be converted into international standard setting work without a further project document? If the executive committee wants to see a second project document, when do you want to see? At the step five level or after step eight? The second question raised by this conjunction of two events is that by referring the subsequent steps to another committee, the recipient committee, in this case community committees, may not be able to anticipate the new items to be added to its agenda because the previous steps are entrusted to other committees. So the, for instance, Codex Committee on Processed Fruits and Vegetables may not be in a position to handle its own workload, and it becomes dependent and vulnerable to the delays or acceleration of work taking place in regional committees. So these are some aspects of the question in front of you, and I just wanted to point up these facts. And finally, I apologize for long intervention. Regarding the remarks made by Vice Chair Van Echt and Vice Chair Halbach, I think it is open to this committee to contemplate any procedures additional to the current procedures to give a due regard to the speedy enough development or conversion process of a regional standard to international standard. For instance, after the agreement given by the Commission to a second or new project document justifying the international scope of the community, the Commission may decide that in principle always accelerated procedures should be applied with only one round of comments. So there are several options the committee may wish to consider. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, again for that very useful clarification. So I think we need to make some progress. For proposed draft standard for Gochujang, I think we are almost in agreement that we can support its adoption at step five, but we need to hold up the decision on the recommendation by CC Asia that the committee, after adoption of step 5, let it be handled by the committee on cereal pulses and legumes until we discuss the proposals under item 6B. So we can agree that let be adopted step 5, but decision as to the way forward as proposed by CC Asia we shall make after discussing 6B proposals. And that can also be said for the next standard. We can agree at this material time to have it adopted as step 5, but defer a decision on the recommendation by CC Asia, which proposes finalization as after step 5 by the Committee on Processed Fruits and Vegetables until we would have discussed the proposals under 6B. I hope we can all agree with this way of progressing. And also very important issues have come out of this discussion. I think as Executive Committee, we have found ourselves in a bit of dilemma in addressing the questions put by the Secretariat. First of all, the need for a project proposal when trying to convert regional standard into a worldwide standard. And the second one is, at what stage would we demand a project proposal, or would we consider it fit to change regional standard or regional draft standard into a worldwide standard or worldwide draft proposal? And I think we need to, as I said, the standard management function is evolving, and this is one of the areas where we have found ourselves with the proper, without proper guidance. And as we have done in the past, maybe we need to develop some guidelines or criteria that we can apply, a transparent criteria or guidelines that we can apply as Executive Committee in giving our guidance to the Executive, to the Commission. And if this proposal to develop clear guidelines or criteria for handling in situations like this one, if it's agreed, then I would propose the members of the Bureau, the Chair and the Vice Chairs, put some proposals that can be discussed by the Executive Committee, maybe in the next commission, Executive Committee meeting. Would this proposal be acceptable? And what would be put down would be on how to handle situations like where we have a need to turn a regional standard into a worldwide standard, whether we require project proposals, and at what stage would we require the project proposals. Vice Chair Hoffman, please.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the suggestion by you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to seek clarification. The point raised by you, was it to draft criteria on how do we move regional standards to international standards? Because my understanding that there'll be, again, a debate during the review of mandates on the proposals, and we're looking at this issue specifically, and like my colleagues have mentioned, in a broader perspective, if we want to strengthen the procedures that we have, in place, we have to look in the broader perspective. Because there are concerns from member countries that the current practice now is from regional standards, you could move to international standards. And the point raised by my colleagues was, how do we facilitate this and so on? So I suppose it is part and parcel of the whole exercise, by trying to come up with certain criteria or guidance, putting procedures in place for clarity purposes, how do we address this issue? And perhaps this also would require further thoughts and considerations in view of the implications as well. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, thank you, Vice Chair. Exactly. I mean, that's exactly what I was trying to propose, that we come out with clear procedures and guidelines on how we can handle situations like this, not particularly this one, but from the broader perspective. Vice Chair Wim?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, very briefly. I guess, indeed, when we arrive at point 6B, and as I mentioned before, given the input we got from several members on this issue, particularly the general comments, then I guess on commodity standard work that there is a package of issues for consideration, including the issues we just discussed on the matter of regional standards, conversion into international ones, yes or no, an additional product document, additional criteria, better application of the existing criteria. So I see a package of issues that has to be fleshed out, and my understanding will be that we can have a discussion under 6B, get a feeling of the members of the Executive Committee, and as you correctly proposed, Mr. Chairman, that the officers of the Bureau prepare a document in between the meetings so we have something for discussion at the meeting of the Executive Committee in December. And I'm most willing to participate in that process. And I guess, Mr. Chairman, that with a little bit of ginseng, given the magic properties of this project, we will have a wonderful document. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair Wim. And I see the Vice Chair again, Karen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we are very pleased to take up this challenge from you, to work together with you to develop a package of proposed procedures for the Executive Committee to consider, so as to improve the functioning of this Executive Committee and the Commission. And we're very pleased to do that, also because I think we can point to a success in having moved through fairly quickly a strategic plan, developing a strategic plan on behalf of the Executive Committee and the Commission. So thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
And I have a member from Latin America Caribbean, and you'll be the last one, and we move forward, please.
Gracias, Presidente. Perdón por intervenir tan tarde en la discusión, pero quisiera meramente agregar algunos elementos más a este asunto de por sí complejo, y es quizá una invitación a los vicepresidentes y al presidente, al tomar este trabajo, a ser muy creativos y a considerar todas las posibilidades, porque me parece que hemos visto distintos tipos de normas regionales que se quieren hacer internacionales, y no todas están en la misma situación. Algunas están ahí derivadas de lo complejas que son las agendas de los comités de producto, en que hay productos que están muy en la línea de si son regionales, pero tienen algo de comercio afuera de esto. Entonces, el resultado de esa discusión podría llevar incluso a modificar los mandatos de los comités regionales, quizá permitirles hacer normas mundiales a los comités regionales. Quizá podría llevarnos a muchos caminos interesantes para tratar con la situación real de qué es lo que está llevando a los países a proponer una norma que podría haber sido mundial, mejor en el perspectivo. Entonces, sí sería muy útil tener una guía más amplia que quizá pudiera basarse en los casos concretos de por qué han acabado las normas regionales siendo desarrolladas como regionales, sin que esta sea su auténtica naturaleza. Gracias, señor presidente. Perdón por intervenir tan tarde.
Thank you, member from Latin American Caribbean, and well, the members of the Bureau will really consider that seriously. And the discussion that we have had so far, and the discussion that will also come as we discuss item 6B, will greatly facilitate for both of them, but defer decision on the recommendations as to which committee should handle after step 5 until we have discussed again item 6B. Well, it's lunchtime, and I wish we break, and maybe some announcements from the secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You have 4 possibilities to get some good food on the FAO premises. The first one is if you go up to the 8th floor of Building C, which is this building, and the lifts take you only to the 7th floor, so you have to walk up one floor. There is a restaurant, FAO restaurant. But these are very good food, but you have to anticipate a little bit more time to come to the end of your course. Next to it, on Building B, on the same floor, there is FAO cafeteria, so you can choose whatever you want and pay for it at cashier desk. There is a more simple bar serving some sandwiches on the ground floor of Building A, the building through which you enter the FAO buildings. And finally, on the ground floor of Building D, which is connected to this building through the bridge, so you go either this way or that way, you can reach Building D, and there is a cafeteria serving simple cooked foods as well as sandwiches. So these are 4 possibilities. Bon appétit, and see you at 2:30.
Okay, see you at 2:30, everyone. Thank you.